Well, Darcy's a real good story, actually, because she started out at Stocksbridge, Pentaqua, and she was spotted 2 or 3 years ago by one of our junior coaches, and she came through a little bit later than the normal swimmers come through the programme. But she's a big, tall girl, strong girl. You know, she's got a real determined spirit, and she just progressed and progressed and progressed and made a real big breakthrough last year. And then this year she's made the team for the European Games and just come back from Baku, and she came back with 3 or 4 medals. So it's a real good sort of story, really, you know, for a local girl done good, you know.
When she went out there, was there a belief that she would go out there and come back with medals? Was that the aim, the realistic hope?
I think there's always the hope. You know, you can look online, you can look on rankings, and so you can see if a swimmer's within a striking distance of perhaps winning medals, and so you always go with that intention. But you never know until they actually stand up on the blocks and the start signal goes whether they've actually got the stomach for it. And I know that'll sound strange to, you know, the listeners out there, but you know, some people are really competitive and rise to the occasion when it counts. And some people aren't, unfortunately, and you really don't know until they're in that pressure situation. So it's fantastic that she actually is one of those people that did step up and did do the business, you know.
Yeah, because I'm right in thinking that it was her first major competition, wasn't it? Because of the rescheduling of the World Championships, the European Championships, a new anthem, so it gave her that opportunity. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's a new competition. There's always been a competition each year called the European Junior Championships. But this is a new competition, which is almost like a European Olympics. And so, you know, for most nations, their senior athletes were there. But a deal was done early on that the swimming section of that games was going to be a junior section, at least for the first year or two, to see how it goes. And so it was an 18 and under competition in terms of swimming. But if for all intents and purposes, it was just like an Olympic Games from the point of view of it's a full village with all the different athletes from all different sports. And so it's fantastic preparation, actually, for the swimmers to get used to what it's like at a major games competition.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really important, isn't it? Because it's not always just about what happens in the pool. It's about what goes on around it and the feel of it and all those kind of things, the psychological impact that has.
It's absolutely right. And quite often it's that makes or breaks them. I mean, you know, people don't realise, but when you're in a major games village, you know, you've got all different sports that all compete and train at different times. And so you might have a different sport coming in at 11 o'clock at night and they don't need to be up early like swimmers do, and they're making a noise in the village, and you've got to get used to that kind of thing. And you know, it's easy for us just to turn around and say, well, just wear earplugs. But you know, swimmers, they might not have ever worn earplugs, or they might not ever have had that situation.
They might not sleep as well wearing
absolutely
them.
You know, and that was one of the situations we found in London, you know, that in the Olympic Village where we were was actually right next to a railway track. So even though we was on the outside of the Olympic Village, you know, where you'd think it'd be most quiet, every 5 or 10 minutes a train was going past and rattling and waking you up, and so it's those kind of things that actually make or break. And going back 20 odd years when I was a junior coach, you know, I worked at Leeds, and I'm allowed to say that in Sheffield.
Well, I'm from Leeds.
Okay,
so
we're
as much as you like to me, yeah. But I don't know if the listeners will be too happy.
Sheffield's much better, and so we the Leeds was where Adrian Morehouse was trained, and so obviously he went into the 1984 Olympics as ranked number one. He'd been number one in the world for 3 years. And then the actual village was situated a mile and a half away from the pool, and there was no transport. Now, Adrian had never walked anywhere in his life. You know, his dad dropped him off at the pool and he dropped him off at school. And so he actually went to the Olympics, ranked number one, in fantastic shape. And by the time he got onto his race, 4 or 5 days later, his legs were absolutely gone because he'd done all that walking.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just simple things like that that often make or break an athlete when they go into a major games situation. And one of the biggest things that the sports are doing now that's encouraged by UK Sport and it is, you know, to get the sports science guys on it and to make sure that everything is assessed, you know, so we find out how hot it is, what the food's going to be like, if there's any illnesses in that area, you know, what the noise is going to be like. And so we actually do a lot of work these days on preparing the athletes to deal with the environment, because often if you can do that, they're going to swim well because they're not rattled from the situation that they're in.
Just on Darcy, how far can she go? We don't want to heap pressure on, but how far can she go in terms of what she can achieve in her career, do you think?
Well, I mean, like I said, I alluded to it earlier on, I think a real lot of it is to do with personality, and she's certainly a really, really tough character, and you know, she's not shy in any shape or form of coming forwards, you know, and if she doesn't like something, she's very happy to tell you that she doesn't like it. And in actual fact, that's a really, really important trait. And, you know, over the years, I've coached 4 Olympians, and that's a trait that all of them have had, is that they're not the most easy people to get on with at times, you know, because they're different. You know, they think differently. They're far more competitive than the average Joe on the street. You know, I mean, certainly thinking back to some of the Olympians I've worked with before, they'll have a race eating a sandwich, you know. Every single thing is competitive, and Darcy's definitely got that trait. From a physical standpoint, she's a big, tall, strong girl as well. And so, you know, in terms of the basic ingredients that you'd expect in an athlete, she's certainly got them. And, you know, what I've got to make sure now is that, you know, I guide her through the next, you know, 5 years to Tokyo, because that's really what we're looking for.
Right, okay.
Make sure that she gets there in one piece and hopefully can do the business there.
Because a lot can happen in 5 years, can't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're sat here now, and I've clocked it already, because I always look at people such as yourself. I did some work with the diving team over in Leeds, Adie Hinchcliffe over there. And
I lived with Adie for 6 years, actually.
Well, Adie's got a ring that you've got on there as well, the Olympic ring. Yeah, so you've got a little silver ring on your hand, which is made up of the Olympic rings, that's the five rings. Yeah. It all gears around the Olympics, doesn't it?
That's
just
right,
just how big, I guess, a caveat is that for them, for the swimmers there, looking down the line?
Well, it's funny because, you know, everything revolves around the Olympics, you know, from the point of view of funding that we get from, you know, the UK sport department. You know, it all depends on how many medals you win at the Olympics and how many medals you're perceived to be able to win in the next Olympics. And at times, you know, it can be quite harsh, because, I mean, in the 2012 Olympics, if you actually was to allocate, you know, 1 point for eighth in the final, 2 points for seventh, 3 points for sixth, that type of approach, we actually had the most successful swimming Olympics we've ever had.
Right, okay.
But because it's only classed on medals, we actually didn't hit our tags. We missed it by one. And because of that, our sport lost millions of pounds.
And I always view that as a very backwards way of doing things.
I think we all do.
I don't understand how that works. Yeah. You don't achieve what you've aimed to achieve, so what we'll do is we'll punish you by taking away more money, which means it'll make it harder for you to achieve it in the future.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, if you had a soapbox in the corner, I'd stand on it right now, because I could rail on forever about this. You know, trying to take the positive out of it, you know, the Olympics is the thing that we all absolutely aspire to do. And that's not to... you know, shout down the other competitions, because the World Championships are a massive thing and the Commonwealth Games are a huge thing, particularly in the public's eyes, you know. And so we do target those, but the Olympic Games is those things times 10. Everything is just limped on that. And so because of that, you know, we do target things in 4-year cycles, really. And so I'm quite encouraged by the fact that, you know, Darcy's only 16, that, you know, swimmers often peak in their late teens, early 20s, and she's, everything's there waiting to go. And it's quite exciting, because there's a group of athletes at Sheffield, you know, there's 5 or 6 of them in that kind of age bracket that are really, really keen, really up for it. And, you know, so 2020 is going to be a really big thing for us, you know, and, you know, but we've got next year to get out the way first, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. Is the state of swimming here in Sheffield strong at the minute? Then you're obviously sat here in front of us today. You've got your City of Sheffield swim squad T-shirt on. Is it strong at the moment round here?
It is. I mean, Sheffield's always been a hotbed for swimming, really, and since Ponds Forge opened in 1991. And, you know, the city has produced 7 or 8 Olympians in recent sort of years, which is, you know, punching way above its weight in terms of pro rata. And I think, you know, a lot of it's got to do with, you know, the fact that the kids here are so keen to work hard and they actually enjoy the challenge of tough training and they're proud of the fact that, you know, our nickname of the squad is Team Steel, you know, and we love it. It's a brand and everyone talks about how tough the Sheffield Swimmers are. And so I think because of that, you know, we do have a good reputation in swimming. But it's been a difficult time because, you know, since with the austerity measures that have happened in the last few years, you know, that the council had to make cuts and are not able to really fund sport in the way that it wants to. And so, you know, we actually had to set up a company last year to run the elite side of swimming in the city. And so last year it was looking a little bit scary. We didn't know whether we was going to be able to make it or not, but we're actually doing really well after 18 months and, you know, things are looking really healthy. We've got a really good swim squad that's well funded and well looked after. And we've got, you know, we're still one of the top clubs in the country, you know, in terms of results and performance. And we've got 7 or 8 full GB internationals in the squad here in Sheffield. We've got 2 swimmers that went to the Olympics, able-bodied and 1 disabled, and they're still going for Rio. And we've got 3 or 4 other guys that are really in the mix to do well in Rio too, you know. So I think we're holding our own, so to say.